I have a very exciting word for you today. We're going to begin a new series. No, I'm super excited. We're going to be talking about how we can have a living relationship with Holy Spirit. It's going to be life transforming for all of us. I want you to stand to your feet, and I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to open to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, this is the Apostle Paul. He wrote this letter. In fact, this is the second letter that's been written now to the Corinthian church. And this is kind of, I'm just going to take this very last verse and look at the blessing that he prays on them. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14, just one verse here. It says this, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." This is his farewell. This is like his closing blessing. I want to read it in another translation. The Passion reads this way, "May the grace and joyous favor of the Lord Jesus Christ, the unambiguous love of God, and the precious communion that we share in the Holy Spirit be yours continually. Amen. Amen." Let's pray and let's ask the Lord's hand on this time as we open his word together. Jesus, we just ask you to illuminate this word to us. Mighty God, even as we enter into a new series, I just ask, Lord, that what you desire to release over your people would be accomplished, that it would be effective, that, mighty God, even the way that you highlighted this word in my heart as I studied, as I prepared, I just ask that you would do the very same thing in every one of our lives. Lord, would you release your Holy Spirit to do a great and effective work in each and every one of our lives. Lord, we just ask for a liberty to receive your word this morning, and we bind every work of the enemy who would seek to distract or divide or uproot the word even as it comes forward, mighty God. We just ask you to bless this time in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Relationship with the Holy Spirit. I want you to say those words with me. Say, relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, I just want you to prepare yourself for what I'm going to share. Because what we're going to talk about over, you know, today and really over the next month or so, I want to bring a new perspective, maybe that you would look at the Holy Spirit in a way that you never have before. And so we're going to talk about how we can have this living relationship with the Holy Spirit. I think it's interesting that the Apostle Paul, here as he's closing out his letter, he talks about the different parts of the Godhead, which, by the way, if you ever have anybody challenge, well, I don't believe in the Trinity, or where do you see the Trinity in Scripture? This is another verse that you can add to your arsenal, because you see it talks about Jesus, it talks about the Father God, and it talks about the Holy Spirit all in this one passage. And just to reference that, he says that Jesus brings grace. Everybody say grace. You understand that we're all sinners. We're saved by grace. We all know this. We're all sinners saved by grace. Okay. Do you know that you're a sinner saved by grace? Okay. All right. You better know that. That's like Christianity 101. Literally, that should be the first lesson that you learn. The word grace means unmerited favor. And that doesn't really translate in modern day vernacular, but really what it essentially is meaning is that you deserve nothing, but God gave you good things. He gave you favor. And so we have favor and the reception of God Almighty. We can be friends with God. We can be saved by God. And it's all because of the grace of Jesus. Okay? And then it talks about the Father. It says that you would receive his love, the love of God. You understand that the reason Jesus came in the first place was because the Father loved us. He loved you, right? What does John 3:16 says? "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." But I love what it says about the Holy Spirit. I could preach on either of those topics for a long time, but we want to focus on this. Look what it says about Holy Spirit. It says that you would have the communion of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say communion. We're going to talk about that communion because you might have seen my video earlier this week. You do know that Holy Spirit is not a dove, right? We get this. I mean, it's a good picture, but we get it from Luke chapter 3 when Jesus was baptized. The Bible says that Jesus was baptized. He came out of the water, and the disciples and all those who were gathered saw descending like a dove, like a dove. Everybody say, like a dove. Like a dove, the Spirit of God, and it came and rested upon Jesus and remained. But you know, people get these pictures. It's like we talk about Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 1. The Bible talks about how Jesus is the Lamb of God. That's what John the Baptist called him, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But people never say that Jesus is a lamb, right? I mean, we don't think that Jesus is literally a lamb, correct? We understand that he's a man. But part of what he did was he was a sacrifice for our sins. That's the picture of the lamb. An angel in Revelation chapter 5 describes Jesus also as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But we also know that Jesus is not literally a lion either. But he is the picture of a lion is that he's an overcomer and he's conquered the devil and hell and death and all of these things. And Holy Spirit, in a very similar sense, he has a nature. And it's like that of a dove. He has things that he likes and things that he doesn't like. And next week in particular, we're going to deal with the person of the Holy Spirit. You know that the Holy Spirit's a person? He's a person. And here's why this is important. I'm going to lay some foundation. I want you to get your pen ready because I'm going to give you a lot of scripture today. The Lord really took me on just a fun path over the course of this week as I was preparing for this morning. But you understand, Jesus went to heaven. The Bible says that he ascended to heaven. And he said to his disciples, it's to your benefit that I go, because when I go, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. He said that in John 14, 15. And so, understand. So, where is Jesus today? Okay, where is Jesus today? You guys are writing the notes down. I know you're being a good student of the word, but if you don't talk to me, then my feelings start to get hurt. Okay? So where is Jesus today? He's in heaven, right? And the Bible says that he is at the right hand of the Father. It says that in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen was being stoned in verse 55. It said that he looked up and he saw at the right hand of the Father Jesus, who was standing there actually interceding for him. Paul said in Romans 8:34 that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us every day. Ephesians 1:20, the Apostle Paul said that Jesus is seated in heavenly places, and he has brought all things under his feet, including the devil. And so, where is Jesus today? He's in heaven. And who else is in heaven? He's sitting right next to the Father. So I want you to think about this for a moment. Because Jesus is in heaven. The Father God is in heaven. So who is on the earth today? The Holy Spirit. You guys got it, and you're doing a good job talking back to me. I appreciate it. The Holy Spirit is with us today. 2 Corinthians 13:14 talks about this precious communion that we share with the Holy Spirit. Now, that word communion is the Greek word koinonia. Have you ever heard that word before? And there's churches that I've heard named koinonia. Koinonia is literally that word communion. It means partnership, participation, social intercourse, communion, communication, or fellowship. In fact, you'll see this a number of times in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it talks about how the disciples, they went from house to house. They had Bible studies together. They shared meals together. But this is the word. It says that they continued daily in fellowship, in koinonia. Everybody say koinonia. You guys are learning Greek, okay? In 1 Corinthians 1:9, it talks about how we can have koinonia with Jesus, fellowship with Jesus. 12 times that word is used in the New Testament, and every time it's used to describe fellowship, mostly with other people. I want you to think about the reason. There's a reason that I'm saying this. The Apostle Paul, the same way we have fellowship in a Bible study over a meal with somebody is what Paul is praying our relationship with Holy Spirit would look like. I want you to think about that. The same way you can go out to dinner with somebody, Holy Spirit wants to be with you in those kinds of moments. So I want you to hear, this is very important for you to grasp, and then I want to lay out some points for you. Holy Spirit is more than a source of power. Holy Spirit is not just tongues, healing, or prophecy. Holy Spirit is not just a force like in Star Wars. Holy Spirit is not only power or gifts or blessing. He has and he does all of those things. But that's like me saying, well, you know, somebody comes up to me and says, describe your wife to me. And I say, well, she cooks really good. And she raised some amazing children. And she satisfies me sexually. I'll just say it. You know, I mean, these are important things, you know, in the marriage. But if that's all my relationship with her was, how many understand that's a very shallow relationship that we're talking about? But if I begin to talk about the koinonia, the relationship, the fellowship that I have with her, you know what I would talk about? Not just her cooking and her child raising and how she satisfies me, but I would also begin then to talk about how she brings joy to my life. How she's my very best friend. How she's a counselor in times that I need. How she's my accountability and she's a strength to me and she's an encouragement to me. And I could go on and on and on talking about my relationship with my wife. That's the way Holy Spirit wants to be to us. So often we minimize Holy Spirit. Oh, healing broke out because of Holy Spirit, or prophecy broke out because of Holy Spirit, or I felt a goosebump and that's the Holy Spirit. He does all of those things, but you understand Holy Spirit is a person who wants to be in communion with every one of us. Amen? Amen. And so this is the kind of relationship that I really want us to consider. Have you ever thought to invite Holy Spirit to sit in the passenger seat of your car as you're driving down the road? Or to say, Holy Spirit, I want you to come. I'm about to do my Bible study, and Holy Spirit, would you just come and read over my shoulder and teach me what the Word of God is saying? Or have you ever thought to, you know, you've got a seat at the dinner table, and Holy Spirit, would you come and would you fill this seat right here? Or maybe you go into your room, your children's room at the end of the night, you pray a blessing, and you say, Holy Spirit, would you just stay in here all night? Would you just be, I want you to picture not just like a cloud or a fire or some, you know, we use all these terms to describe Holy Spirit, but I want you to picture as if Holy Spirit had a body and he had emotions and he had a thought process, because he is that real, you understand. And that when you say, Holy Spirit, I want you to come and just, I want you to be in the room while my children sleep. Holy Spirit, I want you to be in my room while my wife and I are asleep. And would you just, you can sit in that chair. You can sit at the foot of my bed. And you just imagine if God himself in bodily form came in, literally came into your room or over your children or in your car. This is how I want us to picture. This is, I feel like, the first step in changing the way we view our relationship. Everybody say relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know, I even as I'm talking now, I feel the presence of God. And I want you to think about, what is that? Is it the goosebump giver? It's not. You know what I believe? I believe the person of the Holy Spirit is literally in this room right now. He's right here. He's right here. You might not see him with physical eyes, but he's here. And so I want to talk to you. What does it mean to have communion? Everybody say communion. There's seven things that I want to talk about this morning. And I'll move through these quickly, but your guys are good note takers, so we'll get it all. Number one, communion means presence. Communion means presence. I'll never forget Saturday nights in Irving, Texas. My wife and I were in Bible school, and we went to a church called Heartland World Ministries Church, where my spiritual father was a pastor. His name was Steve Hill. And I just, my wife has brought this up, and I just remember is the craziest thing that I've ever experienced. We would, you know, he'd preach and we'd worship and all of this kind of thing. And every Saturday night, Sundays didn't always look like this, but Saturday nights, I mean, it's just like, let your hair down. Let's just go crazy, man. And every Saturday night, they would open up the altars. And we come into that altar. I mean, hundreds of people in the altars. And I'll never forget, the worship would just be full blast. I mean, it was so loud, you couldn't hear the person next to you singing or praying or anything, and that's kind of the way I like it. And sorry for those of you if that hurts your ears, but it's going to be loud in heaven, I'll just warn you. And so we get down into the altars, and I just remember there were these moments where I would just be so passionately seeking the Lord. I mean, I would close my eyes, and I am just praising and worshiping as Pastor Steve would begin to move and lay hands on people. And again, there's hundreds of people in the altars, and so it would take him quite a while to get over to you. It's not like there's 15 people and you know, it just works right down the line, but there would be hundreds of people. So sometimes you'd be in the altars worshiping for 30 or more minutes before he would even get to you. And I just remember these occasions where I'd have my eyes closed, and again, the worship was loud, and I couldn't even hear him coming, but I could feel it. I could feel him moving down. And this is what I literally think was happening in those moments. I think it was as if Holy Spirit was walking hand in hand with Pastor Steve. And he'd be moving along. And as the Lord would be touching, you could feel him coming. Now, since that time, I felt that on a number of ministers. I mean, there's been times where I feel like Holy Spirit standing right next to me as I'm praying or I'm ministering to individuals. You know what that is? Presence. Everybody say presence. This is what Jesus said in John 14, 16. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. He will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. Everyone say Holy Spirit. He will lead you into truth. Now, this is interesting. He says the world can't receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. It says, but you know him because he lives with you now, and later he will be in you. I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, let me just point out here. Jesus says that people missed Holy Spirit. They will miss Holy Spirit for two reasons. The first reason is because they're not seeking him. And the second reason is because there's times where he shows up and they don't recognize him. I want you to consider. That's why Jesus said, if you have ever missed the Holy Spirit, it's for one of two reasons. Either one, you don't really want him, or two, he shows up and you don't recognize him. I'm not sure if I want that. So what happened to the Pharisees? God showed up, miracles broke out, demons were cast out, and they said, that's not God, that's the devil. That's what Jesus called blasphemy. In fact, I don't have time to go into that. I'll share about it. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is very interesting when you study it. It's not just you say something flippant about the Holy Spirit. Don't worry. You've not committed the act of blasphemy. But these guys did. They saw the perfect demonstration of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. They saw the works of God manifested before them. And they said, that's the devil. They missed it. They did not recognize. In fact, you'll even remember on one occasion where Jesus was walking on water. And the disciples were in the boat. And Jesus begins to approach them. And do you remember what the disciples said? They were afraid. Does anybody remember? Because they said, it's a ghost. They said it's a ghost. They didn't recognize Jesus. They didn't recognize the Holy Spirit anointing that was upon him. They thought, it's a ghost. But by the time we come to the book of Acts, we see these guys. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. You'll see times where an angel spoke to them, and you'll see times where Holy Spirit spoke to them. And you know what's so amazing to me? Is that these guys had such a nearness to God Almighty that they knew the difference when God the Father, when the Holy Spirit, or an angel was speaking to them. Would you be able to discern the difference? I wonder if I'd be able to discern the difference if an angel or if Holy Spirit was speaking to me, or the difference between Holy Spirit and Jesus speaking. I want to be in that place. I want to be in that place of intimacy and nearness. And so, you know, I'll just say this. If you don't recognize, well, Holy Spirit, what does it look like? And how will I know if he's here? I'm just going to say that's not going to be a problem for this church. Especially through this series, I mean, he's going to come near to us. And if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, if you've never had a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, that's going to shift today and over these next few weeks as we learn who he is and what he's like. That's his presence. Everybody say presence. The second thing is that koinonia, Or that word communion means fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. We have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a theology question that I've heard asked often. I've been asked this question as well. Is it okay to pray to the Holy Spirit? Is it okay to pray to the Holy Spirit? Now, I will say kind of. Okay, and I'll explain to you why. Jesus said that he would be a guide, that he would be a comfort, and he would be a teacher in John chapter 14. So listen, if you need a guide in your life, if you're hurting and you need a comforter in your life, if you're studying and you want God to teach you, you want a teacher in your life, I think it would be a good idea to invite Holy Spirit to be a guide, to be a comfort, or to be a teacher in your life. Does that make sense? Okay, Holy Spirit can give you love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. You can read about them in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. If you need Jesus, I need patience, or patience seems to be the number one. Maybe that's just for me personally. Or, Lord, you need to teach me how to. How many of you have ever had a difficult person in your life and you're just like, God, I need you to teach me how to love this person? It would be a good idea if the Holy Spirit is the fruit giver in those areas of our life. It would be a good idea. This person is driving me crazy. Holy Spirit, would you come and would you give me patience? Would you come and would you speak to me? Does that make sense? Yeah. Now, so is it okay to pray to the Holy Spirit? Yes is the answer. Yes is the answer. But let me just tell you, I think those moments, let me point something out to you. When Jesus or Paul or others instructed us to pray, the model most of the time is that we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll say that again. The model that is generally laid out in Scripture, there are a couple exceptions. So you're not going to mess up prayer. If you're praying, who cares if you accidentally say Jesus instead of Father or Holy Spirit? It doesn't mean that your prayers aren't going to work, because they all operate in one accord. It's the Trinity, the triune God operating. You're not going to mess it up, okay? Try. Just try and talk to the Lord. But here's the general model. You pray to the Father in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you'll notice, I'm going to help you here. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, it says, we pray in, or we pray by the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, we pray at all times in the Spirit. In Romans 8, it says, the Spirit can make intercession in and for us. In Jude 1:20, it says, pray in the Holy Spirit. There's about 30 more verses, literally 30 more verses that I could give on this idea of praying in, by, or with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just show you the kind of the differences. So I think it's okay to pray to the Holy Spirit, but this is the way I think it should actually look a little more often. Oscar, would you come and just stand right here? I want you to just picture, if I was to talk to Oscar, I'm not going to say pray to Oscar, because I don't pray to Oscar. I don't pray to any man, right? Except for Jesus, the man Jesus Christ. But you understand, if I was to talk to Oscar, it would be me here pretty much like this is. I'm saying words. He's not really saying anything, okay? Now, of course, there are moments where the Lord responds, but I'm talking to him, right? But if you just imagine for a moment if Oscar is Holy Spirit in this illustration. Sometimes I could say, Holy Spirit, again, and not him. I feel wrong even doing this. So, Holy Spirit, give me patience. Holy Spirit, give me joy. Holy Spirit, you know, fill me. Holy Spirit, pour out on us. You know, we can pray those things. But 30 plus times in the New Testament, we are to pray in or with the Holy Spirit. You know what that looks like? Not like this, but it's actually more like me coming alongside and we're going arm in arm and we're moving together. And as I'm speaking, he's speaking. As he's speaking, I'm speaking. That's the picture of praying with or in the Holy Spirit. So it's not so much me outside talking to him as us walking together, communicating together. In fact, the Bible says that when we pray in the Spirit, we pray the perfect will of God. He says that when I pray in the Spirit, it strengthens me. Why? Because I'm not operating in my strength. I'm leaning on the Holy Spirit. The Bible actually says that when we pray in the Spirit, there's times in Romans 8 that I don't even know the words to speak, but the Holy Spirit can make intercession through me. So I don't even have the strength, but Holy Spirit does. Does that make sense? Thank you, Oscar. So that's fellowship. We're going to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We're walking hand in hand with him, even in our prayer lives and all things, okay? Number three, communion is sharing together. Sharing together. Everybody say sharing together. Again, Paul said, I want you to have communion with the Holy Spirit. Part of communion is sharing together. So there's these moments where you pour your heart out and he pours his heart out. Where you share your joy and he shares his joy. And even there's moments, I know this sounds crazy, but I'll never forget hearing a testimony from Brother Jesse Duplantis and him talking about moving into a prayer meeting, and he was seeking the Lord, and he just felt like Holy Spirit was sad. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit can be grieved, but and he checked his own heart. You know, Lord, did I do anything to grieve you? And no, it's not you. Felt the assurance that it wasn't him. He wasn't in sin. I hadn't done anything that grieved the heart of God. But he knew that something had happened that hurt the heart of God. Can you imagine that level of communion with the Holy Spirit? Where it's not just about you and whether you've done a good job, but where the Holy Spirit so trusts you that he says, listen, there's a burden that's on my heart. My heart is breaking over this lost situation. And the Holy Spirit literally shares his burden with you. Part of communion is sharing together. And you know, if you've got a good friend in this life, if you've got a best friend in this life, you share things together. Holy Spirit has emotions. I'm going to talk a lot about that next week, actually, the person of the Holy Spirit and the personality of the Holy Spirit. But one thing that I find very interesting, in Acts chapter 15, there was a very interesting time and season that the disciples were dealing with where, you understand, most of Jesus' ministry, in fact, almost all of Jesus' ministry, he ministered exclusively to the Jewish people. There's only two exceptions in all of the Gospels. One was the woman that Jesus ministered to, a Gentile woman that he called a dog, okay? And the other was the Roman centurion, but that one doesn't really count because the servant was Jewish, and so when the centurion's servant was healed, he was still ministering to the Jews. So Jesus exclusively ministered to Jews all throughout his ministry. But when the Apostle Peter, you'll see it in Acts chapter 10, had this vision of a sheep being descended down and is a whole picture of how God was now extending his ministry to non-Jewish people, into Gentiles. And the Apostle Paul carried on that ministry. Now, the interesting thing that began to happen is now you have all of these non-Jewish people that are getting saved. And they haven't been raised obeying the Ten Commandments. They haven't been raised eating the right foods or doing the right things. They don't know what worship or any of these things. All they know is Jesus died for my sins. I received the Holy Spirit. That's it. And so they're having this debate in Acts chapter 15. Well, what do we actually teach these guys to do? Because there were Jewish radicals who were coming behind and saying, listen, if you want to be a Christian, you need to be circumcised. You need to begin to memorize the first five books of the Bible. You need to do all this, 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 and this. And the Apostle Paul and Peter were like, I'm not so sure about that. So they had a big conversation. And this is what they concluded. They said, listen, don't worship other gods. Don't eat food that's been sacrificed to idols and stay sexually pure. Literally three rules. If you do these three things, you're going to do okay. Don't worship other gods. Don't eat food that's been sacrificed to idols. That was a big deal in that day. And stay sexually pure. Okay? And so how do they know that those were the three things that they were supposed to do? This is very interesting. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 28, this is what they say. It seemed right to us, and it seemed right to the Holy Spirit, that no other burden other than those three things be laid on you. It seems right to us, and it seems right to the Holy Spirit. You want to know how these all of these apostles come together. And the way they decided what the future of the church was going to look like was what felt right to the Holy Spirit. This is mind-boggling to me. But how many of you, let me just tell you a secret. One of the greatest ways that I decide when I'm at a fork in the road and I'm trying to decide, should I go this way or should I go this way? And I don't feel like the Lord is speaking to me one way or another. How many of you have ever been in a situation like that? Fork in the road. These both seem like decent options, right? Do I take this job or this job? Do I, you know, whatever. Do I buy this or do I buy that? Or, do, you know, what do I do? Okay? This is what I do. I will get into the presence of God. I begin to worship. I begin to seek Him. I'm not asking Him about this decision yet. I just seek the Lord. And many of you know, if you've ever been in this place where you're personally seeking the Lord, you'll have that moment where it's like, Holy Spirit's here. You know what I'm talking about? If you get active in the place of prayer, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. You have that moment where, wow, Holy Spirit is here. I can feel Him. And then what I do is I bring these decisions before the Lord. I don't even pray or ask about it most of the time. I just begin to lay, well, do I do this? Or do I do this? And in the presence of the Holy Spirit, one of those things usually feels right, and I just know immediately this is what I'm supposed to do. Most of the time, that's exactly why. Because it seems right to me and to the Holy Spirit. That's how they made that decision in Acts 15. It seems right to me, and it seems right to the Holy Spirit. Let's move into a place of intimacy with the Holy Spirit where we know what feels right to Him and what grieves His heart. Boy, sharing together. Everybody say sharing together. Number four, is this good for you? Is this helping you at all? What is communion with the Holy Spirit? Communion with the Holy Spirit, number four, is participation. Oh, I like this one. Participation. Everybody say participation. Now, you know, when Jesus left, you can read about it in Matthew 28. You can read about it in Mark 16. He left us with a great commission. And it says this, is go preach the things that you've heard me teach. I want you to teach other people. I want you to make disciples. I want you to work miracles. I want you to cast out demons. I want you to baptize people. And this is, I love the way that Matthew 28, the Great Commission ends. He says, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. I will be with you always. So now this word commission is exactly what it sounds like. Co meaning together, and mission. It's not just a mission. It's not just a mission that it's, you know, if I were to send somebody on a mission, say, Seth, here's the mission. Go do it. Good luck, buddy. That's a mission, right? But a co-mission is, Seth, this is the mission. Let's go do it together. You understand? There's a major difference in this. And so we get intimidated when God says, well, go and make disciples. Go, hey, I want you to start a discipleship life group. I want you to go and witness to somebody. Oh, there's a sick person. You will lay hands on the sick. They will recover. He doesn't say, Holy Spirit, you understand? He's not, go pray for him. No, he's saying, let's go pray for him. Let's go encourage that person. Let's start a Bible study. Let's go do these things. Let's go on a mission trip. Let's go start this business that's going to bring me glory. He's going to go with us. But I think it's interesting. Jesus, now doesn't that seem contradictory? Jesus said, lo, I am with, that's a King James, lo, I am with you all. He says, I am going to be with you forever, even until the end of the age. And then he turns right around and says, peace out. I'm going to go to heaven, right? And he's like, I'm gone. And so what in the world is that about? You have to understand this concept in Scripture. Remember, in John 14, Jesus is teaching about the Holy Spirit, John 14 and 15, what the ministry of Holy Spirit would look like. And he said this. They were asking him for signs and all this kind of stuff. And Jesus said, listen, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because he was a perfect demonstration of the Word, of the will, and of the acts of the Father God. The Bible says that Jesus didn't say anything unless he heard his Father saying them. He didn't do anything unless he saw his Father do it. So he was a perfect manifestation of the Father's will, his words, and his actions here on the earth. But Jesus also said, when I go, I'm going to send one who is like me, and he will remain with you. And so you understand that the function of the Holy Spirit today is the very same as what Jesus' function was when he was on the earth. The major difference is Jesus was one man. Have you ever wondered why it would be to our benefit? I mean, don't you think it would be more beneficial if Jesus was still walking the earth and doing miracles and doing all this stuff today? I mean, that seems like logically, if we think about it, that seemed better. The reason it's not is because it's not just one. I mean, you just imagine if Jesus was one man and we're all crowding around him, walking with him, trying to do what he does, listen to what he teaches. I mean, it would be impossible to have even a personal relationship when you've got today on the earth a billion believers who are following Jesus. Where we have the benefit today is he has sent the Holy Spirit. And we don't have to fight for Holy Spirit's attention because Holy Spirit is with each and every one of us personally. Every one of us personally. We were in the place of prayer this morning and I had a sense of the Holy Spirit. And you know what was so cool? Auntie Gigi walks in here and she was a couple minutes late in our revival prayer, which is okay. I'm glad that she came at all. But I saw the presence of God on her when she came into this place. And I asked her to pray and she shares a prophetic dream that the Lord gave her last night. And I knew the anointing was on her from the moment that I saw her. In fact, when I come into this place, I see many of you anointed by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Holy Spirit's not just hanging out with me. Holy Spirit doesn't just show up in this service when we begin to worship. No, there's people who come into this place already carrying the Holy Spirit. There's people everywhere they go. I can see them at the grocery store. I can meet them at the beach. And boy, Holy Spirit's with them on the surfboard. Hanging out with their kids. You know, it's awesome, man. I think Holy Spirit likes that kind of stuff, okay? He wants to be in participation. Everybody say participation. Do everything with the Lord. Do everything with Holy Spirit. And give him credit for everything. I had somebody, we did a service here recently, and there were about a dozen people that chose to get right with God. I gave the altar call, I gave the challenge, and many people made decisions to commit their lives to Jesus as Lord. And somebody came up to me after the service. They're not a part of this church, and they don't maybe understand the verbiage, but this is what they said. You saved a lot of people today. And inside, I cringed. And I didn't rebuke them or anything like that, but I cringed. You want to know why? When I was in Bible school, training to be a missionary, an evangelist, I began to study the process of salvation. And what I began to understand that is everybody has been dealt a measure of faith. That if anybody's going to come to God, it's because the Father draws them. He bids them come, the Bible says. That if anybody's heart is open, it's because the Holy Spirit's working on them. If the gospel is powerful, it's not because I present it right. It's because it is powerful, because it is the manifestation of God's will in his word that's been released. And what I began to understand about the whole process of salvation, if you look at this whole thing from beginning to end, it's all God. It's all God. And so I never say, oh, I saved this person. No, I participated with God. He saved them. I got to participate. I never say I healed this person. Even if God uses me in healing, we had many healings on this Thursday night. Many healings. You guys need to come out to Thursday nights. God's releasing the miraculous in a wonderful way. But never once did I say, I healed that person. You know, it's like Auntie Jeannie right here. Last week, a week ago, the Lord gave a word of knowledge about acid reflux in that. And she came back this last Thursday testifying. She'd had a problem with it continually, but as of this last Thursday, had not had a single reaction of acid reflux at all. There were many, many testimonies. Now, I didn't say, boy, I sure did nail that word of knowledge. And boy, when I laid hands, the anointing. No, I didn't do that. Holy Spirit did that. Through the accomplished work of Jesus Christ. God did that for her. I got to participate. You know, recently I was doing work on our car. We had a ignition coil that went bad. It's a real easy fix, just literally one nut that I loosen up, I pull the thing out, and I pop it back in. But I ask my son Gabriel to help me. Participate with me in this, son. Now, how many understand? Gabriel's not even strong enough to loosen that thing. He's not tall enough to get in there and pull this thing out. He's not, I mean, Gabriel, let me be honest. I could do it faster by myself. I have the knowledge, I have the ability, I've got the tools. I can do it all on my own. But I wanted my son to participate with me. Why? Because working with Daddy, he felt an affirmation. We got in the car and we start driving this thing around and he's just so proud. I think it's better. I think it worked. I think it did. You know, he's so excited because he got to participate. It's no benefit to me to have him participate. But it's all for him. You understand, God could do this all himself. God could heal. And sometimes he does. Sometimes Holy Spirit shows up. Not a hand is laid. Not a prayer is prayed. And he heals. But he invites every one of us to participate with him in the work of the ministry. For your benefit. So we get the privilege. I got to work with God on this one. Don't ever take the glory for yourself. Amen. All right, here's the next one. Number 5. Intimacy. What is communion? Communion is intimacy. Those moments, listen, that you've ever felt the love of God, whether you knew it or not, that was the Holy Spirit ministering to you. If you've ever felt the love and embrace, in fact, I love what Romans 5:5 says. This is a Passion Translation, Romans 5:5. It says, we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. How do we experience the love of God being poured into us? It's through the Holy Spirit. And so I just want you to, you might not even realize it, but these moments that you've had a sense of the love of God in your life was actually the Holy Spirit ministering over you. Whether you've known it or not, that was Him. That was Him. And to experience that, oh, we should pray. I want to experience your love in a greater measure. Because you understand, we can have a Bible knowledge. Well, I know that John 3:16 says that you love me, you love the world, Lord. But it's a totally different thing when you experience His love. Like, I like fast cars, right? And I can watch a race on television. Or I can watch, see, one of these days I'm going to own a Tesla, okay? Those things are fast. They're like Ferrari fast, you understand. And they're great for the environment, praise God. And so win-win, right? And so, but I look at these things. And you know, it's very different for me to watch. You can watch, there's these videos where they've actually got a Tesla and like a Lamborghini or a Ferrari racing. And the Tesla, at least out the gate, will usually win. They're faster on the takeoff. Now, in the long track, not so much, but on the takeoff. And how many of you have ever been... How many of you have ever watched a race on television or, you know, online or anything? Probably all of us. You've seen a race. How many of you have ever sat in the front seat when a car is taking off at fast speed and you felt your stomach go into your throat? You know, those are two wildly different experiences. You can know, oh, I know that that car is fast. But when you experience the fast car, oh my goodness, that is just awesome. This is the same way with the Holy Spirit. You can know, oh yes, I know that God is love. The Bible says that. But when you experience his love, oh boy, I want to experience his love. Number six, friendship. Everybody say friendship. Oh, I like this. You know, Holy Spirit wants to be your closest friend. He wants to be your very closest friend. Someone that you can share your deepest desires and your secrets with. You know, I've got secrets just between me and Holy Spirit. Do you know that? I mean, you don't know that. Even my wife, there's things that, you know, my wife and I keep no secrets from each other. But I will be honest, I've got a couple things that are hidden in my heart that's only for me and the Lord. It's only for me and the Lord. I'll never forget Pastor Steve. He was sharing about his mentorship with Leonard Ravenhill. My spiritual father was mentored by Leonard Ravenhill. And he was sharing in one of the first meetings that they sat down together. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you before or not. But he is sitting across from Leonard. And Leonard says, Stevie, he called him Stevie. Stevie, come here. Steve began to lean in. You know, it's only them in the room. Come here. He begins to lean in, and Leonard begins to whisper. He says, come closer. He comes closer. Come closer. He gets out of his chair and, like, on his knees, comes over to him. Closer. He gets so close that he could feel his breath. Closer. And this is what he said. God has secrets. But God doesn't shout his secrets. He whispers them. You have to get close. And boy, that has stuck with me my entire life. There are secrets. I feel like Holy Spirit has revealed a couple things to me. Even about the days that are coming and that I've not told anybody. But in those moments of deep nearness, Holy Spirit whispers. Jesus even said that to his disciples, to his followers in Matthew 13:11, it had been given to us to know the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. You know, there are secrets. There are things you won't hear on gospel television. There are things you won't hear over the radio or podcast, or there are things that you won't even hear preached from this pulpit that the Lord himself wants to reveal as you enter into a deep, intimate friendship with him. Amen. Here's the last thing. Minister Ryland, could you come join me on stage? We're gonna close out with this. There is, number seven, a camaraderie with the Holy Spirit. C-O-M-R-A-D-E-R-Y, camaraderie. And what that means, it's a Greek word that means to command. This is part of what it is. This is part of what koinonia, what it means to have communion with the Holy Spirit. It's this camaraderie that we have with him, that he gives us instruction and we obey him. You understand, Holy Spirit, God wants to be the Lord of your life. Now, he's not a dictator, he's not mean, he's not hurtful. But with all grace, with all love, with all patience, he will give us marching orders. I love the fact, we already covered it, he's going to co-labor with us. He's not just going to send us out there, you go do this, and I'm going to stand back here and judge you. That's not what he's going with us. He'll teach us and he'll instruct us as he moves with each and every one of us. It's a camaraderie. He will command us. He will instruct us. But we must allow him to lead us, to redirect us, to rebuke us. He needs to be allowed into our personal lives. He wants to be a part of everything, church. You know this. We don't just come and meet with Holy Spirit on Sundays on Thursdays, whenever we come into the house of God. When we get up in the morning, Holy Spirit, He wants to be there if we'd allow Him. And all throughout our day, everything that we say and do, He wants to be a part of it. You know, church, my desire more than anything. I had a dream years ago. It was within my first year of pastoring. And this is what the dream was. It was so vivid. But I was sitting down and I was watching TV. And I knew that Holy Spirit was with me. And then I wanted to get a drink of water. And I stood up and I felt like the Holy Spirit literally went with me over to the refrigerator. And I got my water. I put crushed ice, not cubed, crushed ice in this, filled it with water. And then me and Holy Spirit went back to my chair. I went back to watching my show. And you think, what in the world is that about, Pastor? I feel like Holy Spirit wants to be involved with every single part of our life. Going to get water. Which way are you going to drive home? Be in the middle of the conversation you have with your spouse. Be there when you're broken and you're hurting. Be there when you've had the greatest victory of your life. He just wants to be with you. And what was so amazing to me, really, when I get a water, when I'm watching television, as long as it's not something that grieves in His heart, why wouldn't the Holy Spirit want to hang out with us if we allow Him? I want you to stand to your feet. Let's close in a word of prayer. Have I helped you to look at Holy Spirit maybe in a light that you never have before? I knew from the beginning, when I think Holy Ghost, and we're going to have some services like this, okay? We're going to have some blow up Holy Ghost moments where hands are going to be laid on everybody and this place is going to look like a battlefield. I already know it. But I felt under clear instruction of the Holy Spirit as I sought Him for this, that we needed to begin this series not with a Holy Ghost blowout. The power will come when the Holy Spirit shows up. But we needed to begin this series with a personal invitation from every one of us. It's not even something I can really pray. I can lead us in a prayer, but it's a personal invitation that comes from you. The same way that I could call my wife, say, Leah, I want to go out to dinner tonight. In the very same way we say, Holy Spirit, I want to spend this afternoon with you. Holy Spirit, would you just come and be like that picture of me and Oscar arm in arm. That's how I want to be with Holy Spirit. Everywhere I go, everything I say, everything I do. You just have to ask Him. You just have to invite Him. I want to lead us in a prayer. First thing we got to do, we got to make sure our heart's right with God. I know we're at our time and I want you guys to do discovery track and all that kind of stuff. So I want to lead us in a prayer. We're going to ask Jesus to cleanse us, to wash us, to make us new. That's so much of what He did was so that we could have that active relationship with God again. So let's ask Jesus right now to cleanse us, to purify us, and make us new. I want everybody to pray right out loud. Pray, dear Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. Wash away my sins. Cleanse me in your blood. Make me brand new. I know that I've fallen short of your holy standard, but I thank you. You died for my sin. You carried my punishment. You rose from the dead. You're coming back soon. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making me new. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. My very best friend. In Jesus' name I pray. Now we're going to ask for Holy Spirit to come. I'm going to begin to pray. But right now, I want you to personally as if you're talking to your neighbor, but you're not talking to your neighbor. You're talking to Holy Spirit. He's here and He will hear your invitation. I want you to ask Him to come and to be near to you right now. I'm going to pray, but I want you to pray right out loud for yourself right now. Jesus, Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come and we ask you to walk with us in this life. Holy Spirit, we give you invitation to come and to commune with us. Lord, to co-labor, to be a friend, to be intimate, to be so close to us. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to move and operate in every area of our lives. Lord, we don't want to just meet with you once or twice a week at church. We want to meet with you every day, that when we go to sleep, you're there. That when we get up in the morning, you're there. That everywhere we go, everything we say and do, when we're hanging out with our friends, when we're in a Bible study, yes, in a place of worship, when we're brokenhearted over situations, when we're tired at work, God, when we're rejoicing over great victory or cheering for our favorite football team, God, we want you in everything that we say and do. And so, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you draw near to us? Would you walk with us hand in hand? Lord, step by step, thought by thought, would you be with us? We welcome you. We stand on the word of God in the declaration, Jesus. You said that you would go, but it was to our benefit because you would send another helper. You would send the Holy Spirit. He would be with us and he would never leave us. And so right now, Holy Spirit, we invite you into our lives. I want you to say that. I invite you, Holy Spirit, into my life. Surround me. Walk with me. Be with me. Be my closest friend. Be my lover. Be so near to me. Show me where to go and where not to go. Lead me. Fill me. Anoint me. Use me for your glory and for your name's sake. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now let me just tell you.